Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be able to be here. A very cooler welcome than you might find outside this morning. It's amazing to have this sort of weather to enjoy, but it's great to be able to be in a cooler building. My name is Joe Vickery, if you don't know me yet. It's a real privilege to be here with Sian, my wife, and we've been part of this church for a little while now, and I'm feeling very thankful to be able to be here and leading our worship this morning. We have lots of refreshments after the service. Please do go through to the hall afterwards and enjoy a drink, and be outside if you want to be as well. And just to say, this is the last in our series on looking at the fruit of the Spirit, that God at work within us to cultivate that fruit that makes us look and smell maybe a little bit more like Jesus. I don't know about the smell thing, but well, it was pretty hot in the Holy Land as well. At the 31st of July, at the very end of this month, we're beginning a series at the 6th, which some people may have done before, but it's a very appropriate follow-on from what we've been doing now. We're looking at how do we live out that fruitful life on our front lines, on the places where we are most of our time, where we're engaging with people who may not necessarily be followers of Jesus yet. And how do we enable the life of the Spirit to permeate out into the places where we are? So it's a really, really important series for us, starting on the 31st of July, fruitfulness on the front line. At All Saints. Thank you, Dave. Yeah. Yes, the 6th will be at All Saints on that 31st. Thank you. Just the slide that shows you some of the summer connecting events. You can see those also on the website as well, on the newsletter. It's lovely to be able to be here this morning, and especially to call Bands of Marriage. And it's very good that both Aaron and Sijourney are... Have I pronounced that right? Say again. Sigourney. Are here as well. It's lovely. But Simon and Ella are going to be married as well. So this is for the last time of asking for them, and for the second time for Sigourney and Aaron. So I published the Bands of Marriage between Simon Andrew Noble of St. Mary's Pickersley and Ella Louise Quinlan of St. Mary and St. Michael. This is for the third time of asking. And between Aaron, Sidney Butt, and Sigourney Hope Kiesinger of this parish. This is for the second time of asking. And if any of you know any reason why these two couples may not be joined together in holy matrimony, you are to declare it. Let's pray for them. Lord, we thank you so much for the way in which your love can be known and lived out. We pray for both these couples, that your love may flow through them to each other and to the world. You would bless their preparations for their marriage, that their married life may be fruitful and bring glory to you, our God. Amen. We're going to sing a wonderful song which it relies on energy from some of the children. So are you children feeling energetic? We've got flags, we've got noise-making things here, and we'd love you to come and get them now. Do you want to come up forward? Please do join in the praise, because it's rising up. I know that heat is rising, but also the praise is rising to God as we all stand together and enjoy that sense of celebration, because Jesus is among us. Let's stand together.
We
Spirit would just lift us this morning and that our lives may be a song of praise to you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with us and your dwelling among us right now. Amen. Please do be seated. Now then, I've got something here which I have been trying not to touch for quite a little while. In this bag is something that I really, really love. But being diabetic, I have to be very careful about not dipping into this bag too much and eating what's inside. Who likes donuts? Yes! It's not just for children, is it? Oh, I know. Looking very good to me. Well, donuts, as you know, are filled with all sorts of things, aren't they? There's the apple, there's custard, and sometimes, yeah, what other things sometimes you find inside donuts? Jam, yeah. Pardon? A hole. Thank you very much. Yeah, yeah. Very good answer. Well, that could be part of a very good sermon, actually. Yeah. I could think of another thing. Yeah, anyway, we won't go there for now. But I would like to find out what's inside this one. And would one of the younger people like to come and open this thing? Just in case you think you're not going to get to have some, there will be some on the way out for those who really like donuts. So who would like to come forward? And, I think... You had your hand up first. Would you like to come forward? No. Would you like to come and eat? Oh, two of you. Come on then. Right, come down here. Come and stand on this step. Come up here. Can you come up the step? No. Okay. All right, come turn and face the congregation here like this. Now, what I'd like you to do is just to tear it open, just discover what's inside. Oh, show everybody. What is it? Jam, absolutely delicious jam. Thank you very much. Do you want to take that, please? Yes, okay. That's not surprising, is it? Well, jam is what is inside it. And it's very important to think about what's inside not only donuts, but what's inside us. I've been to the early bird service this morning, and I went a few weeks ago as well. And they've got a fantastic song. What's the theme song that early birds sing? You can remember, you older children, remember what it is. About shining, isn't it? Can you shout out what the words are? Can anybody remember the song? We're shining. Thank you, Dave. Dave knows it. I won't get them all singing. We're shining from the inside out, that the world may see, but you live in me. And that is the most fantastic words and song to sing, because that's exactly what we've been thinking about for this whole series, that the life of Jesus can be nurtured and grown inside us so that others can see how wonderful, how amazing, how beautiful Jesus is. Paul once made some teaching to his friend Timothy, and he said, keep yourself in training for a godly life, that is, to become more like Jesus. Physical exercise has some value, but it's invaluable in every way because it promises, but spiritual exercise is valuable in every way because it promises life, both for the present and for the future. So what's inside, spiritual exercise is what helps us to grow and develop what is inside us. How can we do this? Well, there are all sorts of ways that we can grow in what's inside. Some is just as simple but profound as sitting or just standing in the presence and the stillness of God. down by a riverside or on a mountain. And just to experience that life flowing inside us. Another might be remembering a song of praise and singing that as we go along on our way or in our car to work. But the Bible itself is like a spiritual gym. Not sort of so that you can do shoulder presses and things, but what's inside this Bible is something that forms when we read and study and reflect on it. It's like a spiritual gym that builds up what's inside. In fact, Timothy heard from St. Paul these words as well. All scripture, or the whole of the Bible, is God-breathed. And it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that is, in Christ-likeness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's an equipping thing. It's helping us to grow what's inside. And the last of the inner qualities that we're thinking about this week, the fruit, is that of self-control. And how we need to build up that strength for living like Jesus. So, children, you're going to go to your spiritual gyms in a moment. You're going to do some exercise by studying some of the things from the Bible and singing some wonderful songs. And in that, you'll grow within. And it'll build up your capacity to have self-control, to let God have more control of your life. And so that what's on the inside will naturally flow out, so that you'll be able to live from the inside out and shine, so that the world may see something of Jesus in you. So before you go, I'd like to ask that we just have a moment to pray. I'm going to ask God's blessing upon you as you go, because you're so, so special, you children. And God thinks that too. Father, we do thank you for the children of this church community. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would indeed grow stronger and fuller what's inside them, what you've placed inside them, and help them to shine for you with their schools, those they spend their holidays with their families and friends, and wherever they go. May they know your life flowing, oozing out of them, and enable them to be people who shine with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. So children, would you like to go quietly to your groups now? And the donuts are waiting for you. Yes. Let's come to God now in our words of a prayer of confession, because we know that within us there's a whole mixture of stuff. Things that we want to say to God, please would you forgive and cleanse and just get out of my life so it doesn't become a habit, and create in me a clean heart, O God, as King David said. Renew a right spirit within me. So let's just spend a few moments asking for anything in particular that we're aware of, that we might bring to God. In this confession, we're going to pause after we've said the words, "You have wounded your love and marred
your image in us. Let's think particularly this morning of how we have wounded God's love. We've hurt him and just made it far more difficult for people to see Jesus in us. Let's be still. So as God's people, as people who are just in need of forgiveness, let's confess our sins as we say together, Father eternal, giver of light and grace, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in what we have thought, in what we have said and done, through ignorance, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We have wounded your love and marred your image in us. Let's pause there. Lord, we're so sorry. We've wounded your love and marred your image in us. So we continue. We are sorry and ashamed and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and lead us out from darkness to walk as children of light. Amen. We like to just open your hands to receive God's forgiveness. As on behalf of God, through God's authority and grace, I say, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in his great mercy, has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with heartfelt repentance and true faith turn to him. Have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Jesus, be the same.
Of our vision, let's stand together and pray. Jesus, be the my vision. It's the hope that is set before us, the one whom we seek to be following the example of. Jesus, be my vision.
Jesus, be my vision.
want us to look at the images that have recently been beamed back from space by this incredible telescope of the awesome God who is at work in and through creation over millions of years. Let's just see those images on the screen now. We gasp in awesome wonder. The miracle of God's handiwork. Jesus, be the center. Be my source. Be my light. Amen. We affirm through these fresh words of affirming our faith, who we believe in. We invite you to say the words in the white typeface, and I'll say the words in the yellow. So together we affirm. We believe in a bright and amazing God, who has been to the depths of despair on our behalf, and who has risen in splendor and majesty. We believe that God is present in the darkness before dawn, in the waiting and uncertainty where fear and courage join hands, conflict and caring link arms, and the sun rises over barbed wire. We believe in a with us God who has come to where we are and shares our humanity. We affirm a faith that takes us beyond the safe place to live with those on the edge, to choose life and be used by the Holy Spirit in the building of God's new community of hope. Say together. We believe that Jesus is the light of the world, and we commit ourselves to love one another as brothers and sisters, and to live for truth and justice in this world today. So let's come to God now in prayer as we pray for this world which God has placed us in. Let's be seated in an attitude of prayer as Claire leads us in our intercessions.
Before we pray, let's take a moment to think about the things on your heart that you'd like to pray for this morning. And our response this morning, when I say be the fire in their heart or be the fire in our heart, I invite you to say be the wind in their sails or be the wind in our sails. Let's pray. Lord, we pray this morning for the needs of the world, thinking about the people and places around the world that are on our hearts this morning. We especially pray, Lord, for the people of Ukraine, people who are still there, people who are displaced. We pray for wisdom and courage for everyone who is working to end the war through negotiation or defence. Lord, be the fire in their hearts, be the wind in their sails. We pray for the needs of this country, thinking about the people and places that are on our hearts this morning. And we especially pray for the Conservative Party as they balance electing a new leader and governing the country. We pray for self-control as they juggle personal preference and what the country needs. And we pray for everyone preparing for the heatwave, for farmers, for firefighters, for those whose health is affected, for health workers, and everyone in their own feelings about what's coming this week. Lord, be the fire in our hearts, be the wind in our sails. We pray for Malvern and our wider area, and everyone in this church and community, thinking about the people and places and things on our hearts. And especially we pray for schools, care homes, and people balancing low incomes and rising bills. Lord, be the fire in their hearts, be the wind in their sails. And we pray for ourselves and each other. And I invite you to just look around and pray silently for those around you. Lord, whatever we're feeling or experiencing right now, today, in this place, in our lives, whether that's great or whether that's difficult, we pray that you would grow yourself in us. Lord, be the fire in our hearts, be the wind in our sails. Amen. And as we bring together our prayers, let's join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So as we come to prepare our hearts to receive God's word, we're going to affirm the faith that Jesus is Lord, Lord of all. Let's stand together as we sing Christ alone, our cornerstone.
Trust in you.
word of the scriptures are useful to train us in godliness, in righteousness, in Christ-likeness. So we pray now as we open your word that you would open it to our hearts and that we might open our hearts to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do be seated as Anne comes to bring our readings and then Dave preaches from a passage that has been seminal for us over these weeks.
The reading is taken from Galatians 5, chapters 13 to 26, Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, as we reflect on these words, would your Spirit come and continue to transform us, to make us more like you? May we each hear today what you want us to hear, and just be open to you being at work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, everyone. There we go. Many of you, I think, will probably be aware of a famous experiment which was done in the 1960s, I think it was by this psychologist, Walter Mischel. And what he did was he got a load of about five-year-olds, and he stuck them in a room with a marshmallow and said, if you can resist eating that marshmallow for 15 minutes, I'm going to give you two marshmallows to eat. And he monitored them and he watched their reactions. And some resisted temptation, a few, for the 15 minutes, and others couldn't resist the temptation. But what he then did was he then went and tracked the life of those people, and he compared it to the reaction that they'd had. And what he found, famously, was that preschoolers who waited longest for their marshmallow went on to have higher exam results than the ones who couldn't wait. In later years, they were thinner, earned more advanced degrees, used less cocaine, and coped better with stress. Clearly, self-control is a good thing and will get you on in life. But it's not always something we particularly like the thought of or like talking about. And probably out of all the fruit of the Spirit, this is the one which we think, I wonder what images come to mind when you think about self-control. Maybe it's about taking that extra piece of chocolate gâteau. Maybe it's about the self-control needed to resist the sexual passions that are not of God's. Maybe it's that urge to have that extra glass of wine each evening. Or maybe some of you are just sitting there thinking, I'm too old to need to worry about self-control. That's something that teenagers need to worry about. Well, go and read the beginning of Titus 2. Because that talks about whether you're old or young, male or female, we all need to practice self-control. But I think self-control can have a much wider spectrum of concept than perhaps we first think of. I've been reflecting on it this week, and I just thought of some of these areas that connect with self-control. You know, control of our actions, that's connected to some of those photographs we've just seen. Control of our emotions. I guess particularly thinking about anger, control of anger in us. Control of our words. How often do we find ourselves perhaps gossiping and actually needing to hold back on those, or saying things that actually are cutting destructive comments which can reap damage? That may be an issue for some of us. Control of desires, again, connected back to some of those photographs. And then particularly control of our thoughts. You know, I think so much of all of this stems from our thought life, doesn't it? And I know many of us, and I included, have to battle hard with my thoughts. Those thoughts, negative thoughts or destructive thoughts, or thoughts of judgmental thoughts, or thoughts of unforgiveness or doubt. You know, in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets us up against Christ, against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You know, actually control of our thoughts is such a key part of this. And we know, sadly, that actually a lack of self-control can be devastating, can't it, in so many areas. Proverbs 25, verses 27 to 28 says this, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Just imagine, you know, that big that big ancient city with strong walls. If those walls are knocked down, you know, that city is open to every form of attack. And if we haven't got our barriers up, our defences up against self-control, we too leave ourselves exposed and vulnerable. So what is self-control? Well, if you look up in a dictionary, you'll see a definition like something like this. The ability to control oneself, in particular one's emotions and desires, especially in difficult situations. And yes, you know, I agree with all of that, but I want to suggest that actually biblical self-control, and self-control as a Christian, is actually much more than that. You know, when we've looked at all the other fruit of the Spirit over these last few weeks, you know, we've learned, I think, that it's not just about us trying harder in our own strength. They're not fruit of our own hard work, but they're fruit of the Spirit, God's Spirit at work inside of us. And I've just been reflecting on this week, is that true self-control is not about bringing ourselves under our own control, but it's about bringing ourselves under the control of the Holy Spirit. Bringing ourselves under the control of God. And I think when you see it that way, it seems so much more positive, doesn't it? And I think it really is a positive thing. It's not just about us restricting our pleasures and actually our life's being miserable because we're not allowed to do that, we're not allowed to do that. but actually it's allowing us to become who God has created us to be. It's about us to becoming who the Holy Spirit wants us to be. That's what it is about, giving our control over to God and say, will you form me in the image that you've made me to be? I think that is what really true Christian self-control is about. If we want to live fully ourselves, then we live fully under the control of the Spirit. That's where we'll find freedom. This Galatians 5 passage talks about freedom. That's where we'll find true freedom. And in Galatians 5, you know, actually that's what this passage is talking about. You know, it talks about actually that what we find is that there's a battle going on. It's like a tug of war between our two natures. The desires of the flesh, our sinful nature, are trying to pull us one way. But actually God's Spirit is trying to pull us the other way. And there's a battle going on between the two. Galatians 5:16, live by the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the sinful nature. You know, if we just go back to pulled by the desires of our flesh, of the sinful nature, you know, that's what happens. That's what we get. And that, if you like, those things are a picture of us out of control. Big picture of, you know, what life is like out of control, isn't it? That's what happens if we let the sinful nature dominate. But the amazing thing is that actually because of the cross, because of what Jesus did on the cross, that power of the sinful nature, the Bible says, is broken. That no longer needs to control us. We don't need to be controlled anymore by the sinful nature, but actually we have the power by the Holy Spirit which God gives us to live differently, to break away from that and live under the Spirit. And this is what the Spirit, as we've been looking at, gives us. I'm going to invite Diana to come up now. Diana's just going to share a testimony example and a mini preach of hers of just what this has looked like in her life as she's battled with stuff. So over to Diana.
Thank you. Yep, my name's Diana Hunt, and I go to All Saints, and I've been persuaded to give my testimony. I've been a Christian for years, and I'm totally with all that. We all need self-control, and that's what I found, but there was one area of my life where it just didn't work, and that was food. And for years, I mean, probably 25 years, I was a binge eater. Not all the time, but some of the time. It's like when I was tired or upset, or for no reason I could get hold of, I would want to eat. And then, because what I ate didn't satisfy, I'd then eat something else. And then that didn't satisfy either. And so you eat something else, and it goes into a pretty horrible spiral. When it was bad, if it was really bad, I'd eat all weekend. And then I'd go on a dire diet. So I was never very big because I was always one or t'other of those. And along with that goes quite a lot of self-loathing. And what's the matter with me? And why can't I get free? You know, God's put his Spirit within me. Why doesn't it work? So what I thought was, well, obviously I need forgiveness. So, Lord, I'm really sorry. I'm ever so sorry. I never intended to do this. I won't do it anymore. Please forgive me. And do you know, I was a wonderfully forgiven binge eater. It's great, but I wasn't free. And I knew Jesus set us free. It says, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. That we just heard, Galatians 5, for freedom Christ has set us free. I say, amen, jolly good. And how do you get there? That was my question. How do you get there? Well, one day I came across an old book called The Normal Christian Life, Watchman Nee, which is an exposition. It's an explanation of what happens between Romans 6 and 8. And that transformed me. Because you need to know, I'll tell you about sin. It's got tops and roots in her. So this is my eating pattern, you see. It's what you see. It's what we've all, I was going to say we've all got problems. You don't look as though you have. But things like self-condemnation, low self-esteem, fear, overwork, all the stuff that's quite socially acceptable, but areas you can't control. This is like the stuff you see, right? So if I take off all the leaves and repent hard, have I arrived? Well, no, I haven't. And what do I do with those? I'll put them there. Have I arrived? No, I haven't. Why not? Because it's got a root, and you know that. What happened to your New Year's resolutions by February? So what does Jesus take on the cross? My tops, my sins, the fact I've consistently messed things up? Or does he take the roots? Well, it says in that brilliant passage, my old self. So, tops is sins, bottom is your old self. That's the root of the whole blinking problem. It's not just that I get things wrong, I sin. It's that there's a whole bias in me away from God. Actually, we've all got one. It's not just me who has a bias away from God. We've all got, it calls our sinful nature our old nature. And in that reading, it's a very interesting reading, it's a very good reading, because it says, there's the two. What did Jesus take? Well, I thought he just took my sins, which is fine, and then I can be a forgiven binge eater. But supposing he took the roots of the whole system, I could be freed. Does that make sense? So, there's a verse in Romans 6, and it says, we know our old self was crucified with Christ. Well, if you've got troubles with your old self, can I tell you it's the best news out to be crucified with Christ? There's no, you know, it's so final, it's so utter, it's not me, it's Jesus, and I'm accessing something he's done. My old self was crucified with Christ. The sinful body might be destroyed. Really? Now, this is the dodgy bit. You've got to listen hard. I said, but my sinful self hasn't been destroyed, Lord. It's alive and well. And he said, if you go down, it gives the, further down the passage, gives the example of Jesus. It says, when Jesus, we know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death has no dominion over him. Do you see? It's not death has gone. It's death has no control, no authority over Jesus. In the same way, consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. He's saying, the bit I got out of this was, my old self was crucified with Christ, so it doesn't have to have authority over me. It's like being let out of prison. Prison is alive and well. All those people who had authority, they don't have to. If you've ever had an old employer who you left and you didn't like and you've got a new job, supposing your old employer phoned up and said, hey, your desk's here, the computer's here, the phone's ringing, where are you? A censored version of what you would say would be, I don't work for you anymore. Your employer's alive and well. He has no authority over you. What you mean, Lord, that my old self has no authority? Really? Can that be true? And what it meant for me was that God gave me the ability to choose. So one day, I remember I was feeling, I don't know, all in a muddle. And I went to the fridge and I thought, and a little voice said to me, you don't have to do this. I shut the fridge and went in the other room. I thought, actually, this doesn't have to rule me. God's not saying, no sin anymore, you'll be fine. He's saying, right, now you choose. No longer I, but Christ. The life I now live in the flesh, this bit, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Does it work? Well, actually, amazingly, it does. This is a truth. Oh, I'm supposed to have a look. Well, I've got some notes. I'm supposed to. It changed the whole of my inner life. And then it says, you've got to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So what I practice, don't do this unless there's nobody else in the house. So I practice being dead, you see. I lay on the floor like that, shut my eyes. And I thought, whatever you give me now, there's no response coming from me if I'm dead to it. And so I practiced. I'm dead, not to food, to overeating. I'm dead to the binge. I'm dead to that. I'm alive to God in Christ Jesus. Doesn't work if you're not a Christian. And you need a power. There's no point in trying harder. It doesn't work. There's no point. New Year resolutions, those don't work either. You need a power stronger than your old nature. And it's the power of God. And do you know, there's a lovely verse in Romans 8:11. It says, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you. Well, supposing that's right. Really, I thought I could just do with that. And I thought, whatever problem I've got, I don't need more power than the power that raised Jesus. So it says, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in your mortal body. I've forgotten what the next bit is. Wait a minute. 8:11. Power that raised Jesus from the dead, does it work in your mortal body? And the power that raised Jesus from the dead will dwell in you. Gosh. So, I needed to know. If you don't know, you can't access it. If you don't know there's a service at 10:30, you won't come. If you don't know there's coffee after the service, you won't get it. If you don't know Jesus forgives your sins, you won't receive it. If you don't know that your old self was crucified with Christ, you can't access it. So I dreamed it, I thought it, I went back to it, and I lived it. And slowly, slowly, I became free. Till I never binge eat. When I'm tired, same little thought comes, you'd feel better if you ate something. But now I know the way through. I say, no, actually, I wouldn't feel better. What I think I need is an early night. And the truth has set me free. But it's the mixture of the cross, what Jesus has done. One full, perfect, sufficient sacrifice, crucified with Christ, tops and roots, and the Spirit. Lord, someone said it's not trying but trusting. It's not struggling but resting. And if I was going somewhere, actually buffets were always the worst for reasons I'm not quite sure, but they were. And I pray, Lord, left to myself, this is not going to work. I'm not trying, I'm trusting your risen power within me. So I'm not so strong it never would be a temptation. I'm a person who can say, yeah, I found something stronger than my old nature. What a wonderful thing Jesus took it and crucified it. I'm sure I'm meant to be telling you something else. Oh, I know. If you can't understand this, go back to the Message version of the Bible. And then read Romans 6, and you'll understand it better. Oh, I'll just read you this. This is Romans 6 in the Message. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to the sin-miserable life, no longer at sin's beck and call. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we get included in his life-saving resurrection. And from which time there is choice. Can I pray, Dave? Is that all right? Lord, you've done so much more than we access. Help us to live in the wonder and truth of the fact that you've taken all of our sin and the roots as well, and you enable us to live free. Help us to walk your ways, we pray. Amen. I'll just leave you the leaves.
Thank you so much, Dana, and for your honesty and vulnerability. You know, that's part of what we've been talking about the last few weeks, isn't it? I'm going to very quickly finish and just say, you know, there's a few things over these last few weeks that we have just come back to time and time again as we've looked at the fruit of the Spirit. And I think this is about creating that structure which helps us to continue to live this stuff out. You know, as Dinah was saying, you know, so much is about dwelling on the truth of God's words. Just spending time in God's word to say, this is the reality of how it is. However I feel, this is the truth, holding to the truth. Recognising the battle, we talked about that today. Acknowledging with self-control, you know, acknowledging what's out of control. You know, we have to stand up and say, actually, this is out of control and I need help. Praying for repentance, praying for God's help, praying for God to help us with those choices. Running from it when that fridge door is tempted to be open. Running from it, taking those choices. Finding the help of a friend. You know, so much is about sharing and walking with each other. And finally, just to finish off, knowing that there's grace and forgiveness when we get things wrong. When we mess things up. That God is a God who we can always come back to. And know his grace and know his forgiveness. Let's just pause. I'm going to stop there. And Lord, in the mix of all that we've talked about this morning, just come and speak to us now. Thank you that you've got your Holy Spirit gives us the power to overcome these things, to have self-control, to become more like you. Fill us with that power, we pray. Amen.
To stay in an attitude of prayer as we want to say to God, I want to surrender myself for your Spirit to do what you want to do in my life. Let me feel that connection to Christ. May I abide in him and he in me. Let's offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to him now as we sing these simple words together in this old hymn. this day we may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, we pray that this day we may take up our cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, we pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruits to ripen in my life, the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen. As we draw to a close our service, there is the invitation as ever. Anyone would like to receive prayer, just to confirm or say yes to what God is doing right now in your life, or what you want him to do over these weeks, months, years ahead, please do come and sit at the front, and others will pray for you and with you, Diana and Dave and others who are very happy to do that. Don't leave without taking that opportunity. We're going to conclude our worship by singing a great hymn, that Christ may be at the very heart of our vision in all that we're about. We keep him at the center. Be thou my vision, great Lord of my heart. Almighty God, give us such a vision of your purpose and such an assurance of your love and power that we may ever hold fast the hope which is in Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and to serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.
Jesus.